This one, we looked into non-human antennas, so that's why it's actually really nice that you mentioned that. And the first example is that these antennas, well, that they're sensory, how did they describe it? Sensors,
the
basically.
The feelers? Or,
yeah, otherwise known as the feelers. But the first example of signals that it gave was odor.
Like smell?
Smell. So I'm just thinking of, like, you know, us being smelly antennas. Mm. Yeah. we transmit.
We are transmitting smells, yeah, and then, of course, receiving smells.
How do you think the transmission is in this small caravan of smells?
Well, I would say that there's transmissions from the past still lingering in this space.
Which that you are receiving.
That I'm receiving, yeah.
And it's I have to just say something. This guy just asked, where is the antenna of this? And he's still looking around to find the antenna.
How do you answer that question?
Yeah, it's a guy standing outside of this wagon.
Something also... just something strange happened to me just before we did this conversation. I was sitting outside in the sun beside this caravan and thinking about antennas. Because we had this talk earlier, and then this guy that I've never met before, he just came up, straight up to me and said, oh, can I just borrow you for a second? And he said, it's because I have this problem, that my old father, he died. And then I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And then he said, oh, no, that's not the problem. It's because I want to sell his house, but in the garden, there's a big radio antenna. And I don't know how to get rid of it. So he asked me if I could help him fix it or remove it.
Or put it to use.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Where does the story go from there, William? What are you going to do?
I don't know. I must admit that after thinking about it for a while, I said I was afraid that I might not be able to help him.
Mm. Yeah. That makes sense.
But then I said that he could maybe get in touch with the local radio amateurs.
It's a great tip. Great lead. Mm. But I do wonder what you were transmitting from your antenna of you that drew this person towards you. That's the mystery of transmission antenna.
I must have transmitted something.
Antenna, antenna, antenna.
No, but back to the what were we saying before? Something about smells.
This room. I actually thought about something maybe because now we're talking about this open sourced or
open wave.
Open waved antenna. Could you just maybe shortly, briefly explain what that is? Maybe that's good for the listener to understand.
Maybe a little bit more about the open wave receiver. Mm-hmm. So the open wave receiver is, as Kate was describing, and everyone is welcome in Struer to come make them with us, especially at 2:00, but really any time. And they are inspired by what have been called crystal radios or occasionally foxhole radios from World War II, and they're very DIY. So there's a coil and this antenna and a ground, a diode, and an out so that there's some kind of way to listen to it. It actually has to be translated, the electromagnetism, into sound wave. What is the other? I feel like there's another component. Did I say the diode? I might. Mm-hmm. Diode, circuit, antenna, ground, and out. That might be it. And you can make them in like so little time. So the antenna and the ground are the way that you connect both to the... Basically, that's how you bring in the electromagnetic stuff that is carrying signals all around us, and then the ground takes what the system, that little radio, can't receive, and it discharges the rest, what is too much for that particular circuit.
So this antenna, like, takes everything around it in.
And everything it can, because again, it's limited by its, as I understand, the length of the antenna is what determines its frequency. So, and then it does bring in whatever signals maybe all over the world, especially because we like to test them at these times of day that are when the most propagation of AM radio waves happen, which is dawn or dusk, because the AM bounces off the ionosphere, so you, in theory, can get signals from quite far away. So, yeah.
And the recipe for the open wave receivers is very flexible. So in terms of the antenna, we don't say 10 meters or whatever. You can, well, the idea is to try multiple things and see what happens. So also with the coil, we try different shapes and different lengths of wire. So it's all a bit flexible and experimental.
Thanks for that explanation. And of course, back to the antenna talk, but I thought it was a nice to have that picture into this.
Yeah, the antenna in the context of other parts of radio. Mayura, can we hear from you again? What's going on for your thought process now about antennas?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well, so I can't really... I'm making a lot of effort to understand your words.
Okay.
It's very cut. So yeah.
Right.
What was the question again?
Do you want to just share again, riffing what you know comes to mind? Do some more associating around antennas. What antennas have meant to you? What's a question you have about antennas that's alive for you?
I don't have a lot of experience with antennas, per se. I think until the day I will install an antenna in my yard, a proper big antenna, and start experimenting with it very frequently over here, I wouldn't have a lot to say about it, really, honestly. maybe the first proper exciting time that I experienced an antenna just next to my face was in a camp when we were doing the workshop at the Pyrenees. That was a very nice physical experience, but no, I don't have anything special to say about it.
I slept very close to this 100-watt antenna because someone was snoring right next to me in this other room where I was supposed to sleep. And I woke up and I felt like I had been electromagnetized. Like, I still feel like a little sensitive, but it was way too strong, that huge antenna. It just made me love weak antennas even more.
It was huge, yeah. And what so can strong. can you say a little bit what you were feeling?
Oh, like I was so sleep deprived there that I made the decision to sleep next to a 100-watt antenna because I was like desperate for sleep, and I just felt like it's a particular kind of vibration that it feels so unhealthy. Like it's just, it's not just a, like you've just been vibrated or something. It's like you've been vibrated, but like in a radial way, like a circular way. It felt all wrong. And I just, for the next, I don't know, 24 hours, I felt like I was transmitting signals.
Did it feel anything like that sensation in a lightning storm? You know, that sort of, you know that?
I did, but like so long, like I felt like I'd been plugged into one of those for like 5 hours.
Wow.
It was really bad. But I did sleep.
It is really interesting, though, like talking about the body as antennas, like it's so different how people react to various signals, especially in terms of these like electric magnetic. Like a lot of people would say that they don't react on them, and a lot of other people would say like they can clearly feel them.
I can feel the 0.25 watt one. I actually got up yesterday to move it because I can feel it. And this was even before getting my mega dose. But and then in the process of moving it, like unplug the whole thing. So like yesterday's transmission ended because I was feeling it, and then we rebooted it, but still. But yeah, I have another topic to circulate, if that's okay, which was something that came up in the conversation this morning, was about kind of like, if you were to make another kind of antenna, you know, just to start thinking about what are other antennas, either to receive radio signals or other kinds of signals, what are the, like, just to rethink designing or to unthink designing antennas together.
I was wondering about whether antennas can be less pokey.
Less pokey.
Less pokey.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's somehow, you know, you see, there was a picture of an antenna flying around our group, and everyone, ooh, that's a nice antenna. And it looked like the skeleton of an umbrella. And I just thought, that must be really bad feng shui. Like, is there a way to make an antenna that is functional, that is less aggressive?
Great.
Mm. A feng shui antenna?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We've been looking at these nets that people do fishing with all around the water, and they seem like they could be one way to address that problem. They're very beautiful nets. Have you seen them? They're almost like hanging baskets.
Mm.
What about a hammock? You know, a hammock.
To get your mega dose.
Yeah, right. For that. Yeah, if you want to take a nap in it, yes.
Or something you could swallow to get it from the inside, like really, really getting it.
I was thinking about this drawing that was in the window that a kid had made about there was a kid that made a picture of an antenna, right?
But it was Kate's daughter.
Oh.
Well, there were two. Were you talking about the one with the eye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can you maybe explain how it looked? Kind of.
It looked a little bit like the stem of a plant. The whole thing was maybe the size of a tall sunflower. I seem to remember a couple of leaves close to the bottom of the stem, and then further up there were maybe spirals, vague love hearts, and then this big eye. And so, yeah, somebody did a copy in chalk on the window of a drawing that was made in Greece by the daughter of one of our collective members.
Yeah, and that picture just made me think about like how wonderful it would be to make an antenna with like different kind of like maybe a plant in an like in real life, like how if you like put different elements together, like what kind of signal will you get,
right,
if you like paired stuff?
Yeah,
and it was just an abstract thought, so it's not like I don't even
know. No, it's amazing. I think there's a very poignant project by a radio artist who you know from Berlin, Iona. I'm not saying her name right.
Joanna. Vrema Moza.
Yeah, who has done these. She's put some kind of a coil around trees so that we can making audible what trees are already receiving of all the signals that we are sending into, you know, like, so you just, it's almost like a form of pollution that the trees have to receive because they are like antennas. So I think, and then it makes it audible for us. So it's... You know, we see what impact we're making too for all these natural antennas out there.
What was the person's name again?
Joanna Vrema Moza.
Okay, nice. I will check that out.
Yeah, she does really great work and workshops too.
Talking about workshops, if somebody is listening here and is curious about maybe building an antenna or a radio, they can come to Shortwave Collective's laboratory, living lab. And how do you find that if you are in Struer?
Well, you come to where the lake is transmitting from, and they'll tell you where we are. Basically, you walk down the stairs, and then we're under the bridge. We're part of, like, basically in a room that's under the train tracks.
And it's like one archway further along than the info center for the festival.
So maybe go to the info center, and they will
and then
walk you by hand.
Then you'll actually be at Shortwave Collective. That keeps happening.
Oh, yeah. I've done that.
Yeah.
Kate and Karen and Maria?
Maira.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you so much for visiting here in our caravan, talking about antennas. I'm afraid I have to say that we don't have an antenna here, like a physical antenna, because we are sending on speakers and on the internet. Mm. But
Internet uses antennas.
There you go.
And aren't we using all of our different antennas too? Yeah.
That's true.
Including our eyes.
Do you want to say something
I did want to say one thing for those people who are around in Struer, that this evening we're going out to listen to open wave receivers and some of the other things that we've been building and working on this week. And the meeting place is our lab, which is under the archway, very close to the info center, at 7:45 in the evening.
7:45 in the evening.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Bye, thank you.
Bye, Maira. Till later. Ciao.
Listening to the Lake Radio.
Og mens Shortwave Collective, Karen Werner og Kate Donovan er på vej ud af vores lille campingvogn her, kommer Louise tilbage på stolen, fordi at vi må have lavet det her lille intermistiske setup, hvor at Louise stod ude foran campingvognen, og Kate og Karen sad inde i campingvognen sammen med mig, fordi at vi kun har tre stole indenfor. Det vil sige fire, fordi at Rasmus skal også have en, som er tekniker. Og nu er Louise igen tilbage på stolen.
Det er.
Louise, vi sender jo stadigvæk her fra Store Tracks på anden dagen. Hvis du lige er tunet ind, så det du lyttede til var altså en samtale med kollektivet Shortwave Collective, som er en af kunstnergrupperne, som deltager i årets lydbiennale her i Struer.
Og jeg vil også lige i forlængelse af det give en kæmpe anbefaling til at gå ned og tage et kig og måske deltage i deres workshop, som er åben. Og altså man kan, jeg har set folk, der har fundet østers og træplader eller ting, man lige har fundet rundt omkring. Og det kan man tage med derned, og så kan man simpelthen bygge sådan en lille sender, der kan fange de her usynlige elektromagnetiske felter, hvor der er lyd i omkring os.
Og hvem kunne ikke tænke sig sådan en?
Jeg vil i hvert fald helt sikkert have en.
Man kan jo prøve at se, om den kan fange The Lake Radio også. Men lover ikke noget, men det kan også være, at den fanger noget andet. Louise, her om ikke så lang tid, så kommer der en særudgave af det program, som hedder Chest, her på kanalen. Det er her klokken 4. Så kommer der et lille værtskifte igen. Det er LM Skovhøj, som i dag sender det. Kunne du have lyst til, at vi hørte et lille stykke musik inden?
Det synes jeg kunne være rigtig dejligt. Lad os gøre det.
Så tror jeg, vi skal høre Carmen Villange med et nummer, der hedder Only Love From Now On.
Jeg står her på torvet i Struer til lydfestivalen Struer Tracks 4, hvor jeg også viser rundt. Mit navn er Lasse Højland Hansen, og du lytter til The Lake Radio.
Listening to the Lake Radio.
Det var virkelig, virkelig et dejligt nummer, William. Hvad var det, det hed?
Det kan jeg ikke huske. Men noget med Only Love, og så noget mere.
Jeg synes sådan, efter den her snak om antenner, at jeg bare sådan kan mærke, mine antenner, de er lidt mere ude her.
Ja. Det kan sådan, du mærke, hvad de tager ind?
Jeg ved det ikke. Jeg kan bare mærke, at det er en rigtig fed måde at tænke på.
Ja.
Ja. Dem vil jeg lige tage med mig sådan her de næste par dage.
Jeg kan godt lide det her. Altså, man, det er jo en frase, det her, men man siger, at man har antennerne ude, ikke?
Mm.
Og det er jo meget konkret, det vi snakker om. Når vi snakker om, hvad vil det sige at have antenner, og være en antenne. Og når man siger det som en metafor, så har jeg tit følelsen af, at man mener noget andet.
Mm.
Men jeg tænker også, det er jo det, man mener. Det er, at man... Så mærker man noget med de antenner der,
ja.
Hvor end de nu sidder henne.
Og man mærker måske noget, man ikke rigtig forstår.
Mm.
Ja, skal vi lige have et sidste track her, inden vi byder Chest til mikrofonen?
Det synes jeg vil være en god idé. Så vi kan jo se... hvordan vi sådan, mens vi lytter til det nummer, kan vi virkelig prøve at få antennerne ud. Og så se, hvordan, om man lytter på det på en anden måde.
Lad os prøve det. Her kommer The Vernon Spring med Unassigned 2. Say I'm all alone. Say I got nobody to hold me. Say I got a second thing coming in the mirror of my bone. 3 years old in the silence to smoke. Say we under gray sky. Say we not appointed. Say we walk in leaves. We want to feel autumn leaves changing.
You're listening to Lake Radio at Struer Tracks, biennial for sound and listening. My name's Hannah, I'm from Shortwave Collective. Come find us in the Living Radio Lab.
Listening to the Lake Radio.
Det, som der sker nu, det er, at der er programskift her på kanalen. Og det foregår på den måde, at jeg tager et stik ud af det sted, hvorfra jeg spiller lyd. Og så giver jeg det til Ellen, som laver chest lige om lidt. Her kommer kablet, Ellen. Og det er ikke så langt kablet, så det skal lige, vi skal finde den bedst mulige vej, det kan komme fra A til B, som man siger. Og det, der så sker det nu, det er, at jeg kommer til at spille en jingle. Og når jeg har spillet den jingle, så er der altså et nyt program på. Og så er der bare tilbage at sige rigtig godt testprogram og rigtig god dag derude i Struer, eller hvor I ellers sidder og lytter.
Listening to the Lake Radio. We'll be right back.
Aus neutraler Sicht von Albert Jörrimann.
Guten Tag. Bisher hatte ich Pedro Sanchez immer für einen sowieso sympathischen und auch glaubwürdigen Politiker gehalten, soweit dies im Rahmen des politischen Spiels überhaupt möglich ist. Auf seine Art erschien er wie eine tatsächlich sozialdemokratische Alternative zur Generation von Tony Blair und Gerhard Schröder. Kein Kommunist oder Linksaußen, bewahre. Wie es um deren Chancen steht, im Rahmen der kapitalistischen Interessensgeometrie an die Macht zu kommen, hat man in England anhand von Jeremy Corbyn gesehen. Noch nicht mal der bewusst unsorgfältige Umgang mit dem Antisemitismus hat ihm die Regierungsverantwortung in die Tasche gespült, ganz abgesehen vom absehbar realpolitischen Umgang mit dieser Regierungsverantwortung, wenn man sie dann mal hat. Die griechische Syriza hat eine Zeit lang Züge einer radikal linken Partei gehabt, um sie aber in den Verhandlungen mit der Troika schnell abzustoßen. Und die spanischen Podemos ist zwar spürbar radikaler als die Sozialisten, macht aber ebenfalls nicht mehr Stunk als nötig, um in der Regierung zu bleiben. Alles in bester sozialdemokratischer Ordnung, dachte ich mir, bis Sanchez am letzten Freitag zum Präsidenten der Sozialistischen Internationale gewählt wurde. Er löst dort Georgios Papandreou ab, welcher die Verknöcherung und Verfilzung dieser Institution wie kaum ein anderer repräsentiert. Er war beteiligt an den Betrügereien rund um den EU-Beitritt Griechenlands und anschließend in verantwortlicher Position an praktisch jedem weiteren Beschiss, der das Land in die Schuldenkrise ritt. Er war griechischer Ministerpräsident, als Sohn eines früheren griechischen Ministerpräsidenten und als Enkel eines früheren griechischen Ministerpräsidenten, selbstverständlich beide Sozialisten, und steht damit für die Umwandlung der griechischen Sozialisten in eine Erbmonarchie, selbstverständlich immer am Halsband der internationalen Kapitalisten und der griechischen Kirche. Und jetzt Pedro Sanchez. Was soll das? Sogar die deutsche SPD hat ihre Beitragszahlungen an die Sozialistische Internationale von 100.000 auf 5.000 Pfund reduziert und nimmt nur noch als Beobachterin an den Beratungen teil. Vollmitglieder sind dagegen Parteien wie der African National Council, der Partido Aprista Peruano, die mexikanische Partei der institutionalisierten Revolution als Erbauerin des modernen mexikanischen Staates, der indische Nationalkongress und so weiter, denen man vieles vorwerfen kann, aber nicht die Treue zu grundlegenden Prinzipien des Sozialismus und meistens noch nicht mal des Sozialdemokratismus. Offenbar geht die Ära Sanchez zu Ende. Und ja, wenn er dies nun rasch durchzieht, wird von Pedro Sanchez tatsächlich die Erinnerung an einen sympathischen und glaubwürdigen Politiker bleiben, während er in der Versenkung der Sozialistischen Internationale verschwindet. Und wer wird sein Nachfolger? Vermutlich wird es eine Nachfolgerin. Die Vorsitzende des Parteivorstandes Cristina Narbona Ruiz ist mit ihren 72 Jahren zu alt, um den nach wie vor jugendlich wirkenden Sanchez zu beerben. Trotz beeindruckendem wirtschaftspolitischem Rucksack und dem besten Wahlergebnis des ganzen Landes bei den Senatswahlen 2019. Ich denke eher an die stellvertretende Generalsekretärin Adriana Lastra Fernandez, die aus den Reihen der Jungsozialistinnen hervorgegangen ist, deren Generalsekretärin sie von 1999 bis 2004 war. Vielleicht wird es auch Teresa Ribera, aktuell dritte stellvertretende Ministerpräsidentin im Kabinett und Ministerin für den ökologischen Wandel. Einen Mann werden sich die spanischen Sozialdemokratinnen in diesen Zeiten nicht leisten. Wie verhält es sich eigentlich mit den polnischen Forderungen nach Reparationszahlungen durch Deutschland für die Beschädigungen im Zweiten Weltkrieg? Einmal abgesehen davon, dass es sich bei diesen Forderungen um ebenso klare wie aussichtslose Ablenkungsmanöver der polnischen Regierung handelt, welche sie als einen Hebel einsetzt, um die gegen sie laufenden Verfahren der Europäischen Kommission mindestens leicht zu behindern. Es gibt jedenfalls zu dieser Frage einen Artikel im schlauen Buch des Fähnleins Fieselschweif, welcher zunächst auf Staatsverträge verweist, wie zum Beispiel die Potsdamer Konferenz 1945, welche die Aufteilung von Nazi-Deutschland und vor allem den Ausgleich für die Kriegsschäden in der Sowjetunion zum Inhalt hatte. 1953 verzichtete Polen unter sowjetischem Druck auf alle Forderungen an Deutschland. Genau dieser Verzicht wird heute in Frage gestellt mit der Begründung, die damalige Regierung sei nicht demokratisch legitimiert gewesen. Deutschland hält